Come on, is anybody glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen, amen. We want to start off real quick encouraging you inside of God's word. The word of God says in Proverbs chapter 18, 10, it says, the name of Jesus is a strong tower. Say strong tower. Strong. Yell strong tower. Strong. At our campus, say strong tower. Strong. It says that the name of Jesus is a strong tower. It says that the righteous, that's you and I, can run to it and we can find safety. You know what I love about Sunday mornings at Church Unlimited? The thing I love the most about Sunday mornings is when we walk in this place, a lot of us are carrying things. We're carrying pain, shame, hurt, some of us bitterness, unforgiveness. Some of us are going through passing of loved ones, miscarriages, and there's a lot of pain and things we're carrying. But even though we all walk in this place carrying things, you know the thing that I love about one thing we can do corporately as a church together? We can all run in the same general direction, and that way is toward Jesus, the strong tower. He's the one we can find refuge, that we can find strength, that we can find hope in. Amen? How many people are thankful that God is a strong tower inside of our lives? Father, we thank you for being a strong tower in our lives. Well, welcome to Church Unlimited. We're so excited that you've joined us here today, and we want to say hello to all of those who are watching across all of our physical locations, Church Unlimited, Rockfield, Rockport, Stone Oak, GP. We want to say hello to our prison ministry, all of those who are watching also, yes, Church Online. And we want to give it up for the leadership of this church with Pastor Bill and Miss Jessica Cornelius. Aren't we grateful for our pastors? If you love them, can you put your hands together and thank God for them today? You would not be sitting in this seat today had it not been for Jesus in the vision of our leadership. So we're so grateful for them. We're going to get ready to dive inside of God's word today. I came out first and I was like, Lord, I'm going to start this off and we're going to be funny. And he was like, no, you're not. He goes, we're going to go straight to my word and then you can do the funny part. So we want to be obedient to God's word. Amen? So we're going to jump in the book of Matthew chapter 19, verse 17 through 22. And the word of God reads like this. It says, now behold, one came to him and said this, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? I want to give you a little premise of where we're at and who we're dealing with. This is a very influential, wealthy, highly respected young man who comes to Jesus. He has great influence inside of his community. He has big pockets. He's well known. And he comes to Jesus because he already has everything that he wants, but he still has a missing void and he doesn't have everything that he needs. And how many people know that you can have everything that you want in this world, but if you have the absence of Jesus inside of your life, you're missing everything in this world. Amen? And this man was missing the very thing that he needed the most, which was Jesus. So he comes to Jesus and he asks Jesus for eternal life. Let's begin again at the beginning. It says, now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? Jesus says, no one is good but one, and that is God. But if you want to enter into life, I need the audience to help me here. What does Jesus tell him? He says, keep the commandments. Now, Jesus is using the commandments here as an example, but what Jesus was really saying was, keep the fullness of my word. Amen. Keep the fullness of my instructions. Keep the fullness of every promise that's inside of this book, this instruction manual here. So he tells them, keep the commandments. So he uses the commandments as an example. How many people are familiar with the Ten Commandments? Like, you know, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery. So he's using this as a way to teach the young man. He says, keep the commandments, keep my word. And the man tells him this. He says, which ones? And Jesus says, oh, goodness. In Spanish, Jesus would have went like this. Otra vez. Hijos. Here we go again. That's what Jesus would have started off saying. But he says this, Jesus helps him. He identifies six of the commandments that the man is following. There's 10 commandments, but Jesus identifies six, insinuating the fact that the man is not following how many commandments? the other four commandments. So Jesus tells him these words. He says this. He says, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. He says, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man says to him, all of these things I've kept since my youth. Instead of seeing the underlining fact that Jesus was trying to highlight that he was only following six commandments and he wasn't following the full 10 commandments, he was still missing four, he goes with the spirit of pride and he goes, I've been doing that since I was a young boy. All excited and happy. But then look what Jesus tells him. Jesus tells him this. Jesus said, but if you want to be perfect, that word perfect doesn't mean sinless or guiltless. It means whole and complete. He says, if you want to be perfect, whole and complete, go sell what you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away very sorrowful, the Bible says, for he had great possessions. I want to speak to you today briefly from a message entitled, Lord, I surrender. Lord, I surrender. I don't want you to be distracted at any of the campuses at this moment or right here at Church Unlimited Broadcast. I want you to look up toward heaven. I want you to think about what you've been holding on to that you have not given to God. And I want you to repeat these words after me. Say, Lord, I surrender. Say it one more time. Say, Lord, I surrender. This is the last time. Put your hands up. Think about that thing that you're holding on to. And look to Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And act as if you're literally handing it to God. And repeat these words after me. Say, Lord, I surrender. Put your hands down. Father, give it to them the way you gave it to me. Bless your people today. Open up every heart, mind, soul, and spirit in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. This man comes to Jesus. And as he comes to Jesus, he tells Jesus, what must I do that I may gain eternal life? And Jesus tells him this, I need you to keep my word. And the man tells Jesus, which ones? And Jesus already knew that the man wasn't willing to surrender everything to him by the man's language. When he tells Jesus which ones, Jesus already knew he wanted to hold on to his possessions. He wanted to hold on to the thing that he had more than he wanted to hold on to Jesus. And not only did he say which ones, he asked Jesus after that, what do I lack? What do I lack, Jesus? And Jesus could easily came up and said, you lack the other four. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You're not following the fullness of God's word. But like that man lacks something, many of us in this room and online and at our campus, we lack something too. We lack the fullness of God's promises in his word because we only want to follow a fraction of God's promises, but we want the fullness of God's blessing. And we can't, come on, yeah. We can't expect to have the fullness of God's blessing by only utilizing a fraction of God's promises. We have to seek all of God's word. The Bible says that the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God is going to stand throughout eternity. We got to follow all of God's word. Amen. Isaiah 55 and 11 says, God's word will not return unto him void, but it will prosper and accomplish that which it was sent out to do. The man was asking Jesus two questions. Which ones? What do I lack? But he wasn't asking Jesus a question because he wanted an answer. He was asking Jesus a question with the hopes that Jesus would change the answer that he gave him. And God is not going to conform to changing his answer. His word remains true. It's our job to align with God, follow his instructions, ask and follow what he wants us to do so we can see the fullness and the blessing of God inside of our lives. Amen? 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 Amen. We have to be fully engaged with God's word if we want to surrender all of our lives to Jesus. We can't be like this rich young ruler. I shared this with you probably before. Some of you have heard a little bit of this background as it relates to my life. I did an internship with the Texas Department of Public Safety. I went to Sam Houston State University, got a degree in criminal justice with a minor in sociology, and my senior year at Sam Houston State, I got an opportunity to do an internship with DPS. The reason why I wanted to get this internship with DPS was for this one primary reason. It's because my ultimate goal was I wanted to be a Texas Ranger. Does anybody know Chuck Norris? Anybody know Chuck Norris? I wanted to be the black Chuck Norris. Yeah, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be the black Chuck Norris. God was like, no, you're going to be a pastor, but I want to be a black Chuck Norris. Right? And the only way I could go that route was first by going through the Texas Department of Public Safety, because that's the avenue to become a Texas Ranger. So I did an internship with DPS. I remember being out there, and it was the most invigorating, most exciting, most life-fulfilling thing that I did in that time while I was in college. And it opened up my eyes and gave me a deeper insight about the sacrifices that law enforcement officers and first responders make for us. So I want us to give it up right now across all of our campuses here at Broadcast. Thank you, first responders. Thank you, law enforcement, for the sacrifices you make for each and every one of us daily. We appreciate you. Amen? We're grateful for you. Well, I'm out there doing this internship. I'm having a good time. We're having fun. We're flying up and down Interstate 45, and we're pulling people over. And then the trooper goes, we're going to run a quick radar real quick, Zach, and we're going to check speed on people. I'm like, all right, I'm down, man. I'm excited, you know? So I'm inside of the vehicle, and we shoot this truck that's going by. It's a white Ram truck. It had a bed cover over the back of it, and it came through speeding. He goes, we're going to go pull this guy over. I was like, let's go. We light up the guy. We get him pulled over to the side of the street, and the trooper tells me, Zach, he goes, I'm going to make contact with the driver. I'm going to get him off to the side of the road. When I get him off to the side of the road, this is what I need you to do. Find a safe moment, and you can get out, and you can join us there. I'm like, I'm ready, you know? First week on the internship. I jump out of the car like I'm already on the force. You know what I mean? Like I'm already on the team. Like I have a badge and everything. I had no gun. I had no taser. I had no pepper spray, no handcuffs. All I had was future aspirations and confidence that one day I'd be a Texas State Trooper. So I get out of the vehicle, and while I'm out of the vehicle, I'm standing next to the trooper, and he's asking the guy a couple of questions. He's like, sir, do you realize that you were speeding back there? The gentleman looks at the trooper, and he tells him these exact words. He goes, sir, I'm sorry, but this is not my truck. The trooper looks at him. He's like, okay, but do you realize you were speeding back there, sir? Sir, I'm sorry, sir, but this is not my truck. True deal. And I'm looking. I'm like, okay, you know, I don't know really what's going on. I'm just observing here. And then he goes, all right, well, I have another question for you, sir. Where are you going? Where are you traveling to and from? He goes, sir, I'm traveling from Houston to Dallas, but I'm telling you, I promise, sir, this is not my truck. And I'm looking, I'm like, the trooper looks at me, I'm like, hey, it's not his truck. The man saying that, right? So he goes, can we search the vehicle? And the trooper looks at him, and he goes, can we search the vehicle? And the guy's like, yeah, you can search the vehicle, but I promise you, sir, this is not my truck. He looks in the inside of the front of the cab. He goes to the back of the truck. He takes the key from the inside of the ignition. He opens the back liner and the bed of the truck, the trooper does. He steps on. I'm standing next to the guy. The trooper jumps off of the truck. He grabs his weapon. He points it at the guy and he says, Texas State Highway Patrol, put your hands up. Get on the ground now. The guy throws his hands up. His eyes get completely big and he goes, sir, I told you, this is not my truck. I'm standing next to the guy in this moment. So not only is he looking down the barrel of a 357, but I'm looking down the barrel of a 357 too at the same time. This is the God's honest truth. While he's standing next and he throws his hands up, I throw my hands up. I said, man, this is not his truck. And I get ready to try. He says, Zach, move, get out of the way. He gets on the guy, arrests the guy. And I look back, this whole thing was recorded on the dash cam of the trooper's car. They teased me for 4 months of my internship being there. How I surrendered when I was just the intern on the job there. But do you want to know what was in the back of the truck? Because I was curious. So does anybody want to know what was in the back of the truck? This is a photo of what was in the back of the truck that time of my internship. 250 pounds of marijuana that they were taking from Houston to Dallas trafficking. Drugs. It wasn't his truck. Amen. Amen. It wasn't his truck. I agree with that. But the reason why I share that story with you is this. It's because no matter how much authority, no matter how much power I thought I had in the moment, the reality is when I came in front of the person who really had the authority and power, I only had one response, and that was to throw my hands up and say, I surrender. And I want to share this with you. Some of you have walked inside of this place. You're carrying pain, bitterness, unforgiveness. You're carrying the weight of life. And you have the person who is standing in front of you with all of the authority. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And all you have to do is throw your hands up and say, God, I surrender everything to you right now. And you may say, but Pastor Zach, what does surrender really look like? How do I actually practically do that? The first thing you have to do is this. This is one of the first things you have to do. You have to humble yourself before God, and you have to humble yourself before others. Amen. If you want to have a true heart of surrender to God, you have to drop the spirit of pride, and you have to take on a spirit of humility. When we look at this man inside of the scripture, he had a spirit of pride. He did not have a spirit of humility. Listen to his verbiage. Lord, what must I do so I can gain eternal life? For some reason, he thought he had the power and the ability to gain eternal life on his own. He thought he could gain eternity without Jesus. What must I do so I can gain eternal life? And can I tell you this, friend? You can do nothing without the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ inside of your life. You can't raise your kids on your own. You can't do your marriage on your own. You can't climb the ladder of success on your own without having Jesus. Amen? Amen. I feel the Spirit of God in this place. You need Jesus. And God confirms that inside of his word. John 15:5 says this. They're putting it up there. Look, John 15:5 says this. Jesus says, I'm the vine. And you are the branches. Look what God says, and I'm gonna need your help here in a minute. He says, if you abide in me, and my word abides in you, you will bear much fruit. But help me with the last part of this. He says, for without me, you can do
nothing.
Nothing. You can't do anything without Jesus. You need him in every aspect of your life. I want to talk to the young people inside of this room right now. Because there's young people inside of this room, instead of having a heart of humility, you have a heart of pride. And you've been living under your parents' household, and instead of listening to your parents, you fought for control. But can I share this with you, young people? Your parents have not placed you, God has not placed those parents inside of your life on accident, but by God's divine appointment. They're meant to be inside your life, not to hurt you, but to help you. Your parents want to make sure that you don't walk through the same consequences they walk through, the same pitfalls they walk through, some of the same regrets that they have. God placed them in your life for a reason. Move the spirit of pride and take on the spirit of humility. Amen?
Amen.
I want to speak to the ladies in the building, and I'm going to take my voice down in Jesus' name. I'm coming down lower. Ladies, I want to speak to you, not at you. I have a mother. I have three sisters. And I have a wife that's still raising me. Ladies, your husband does not need a woman that's going to condemn him and correct him every time. Your husband needs a woman that's going to support him. Amen? Ladies, I'm talking low. Your husband doesn't need somebody who's going to cause every contention known possible. Every time you come up, you're contending, fighting with his leadership. He needs somebody who's going to support him and be by his side. Proverbs 25:24 says these words. Proverbs 25:24 says, it's better for a man to live in the corner of a rooftop than inside of a big house with a contentious woman. Your man needs somebody who's going to be a supporter, not who's going to be a condemner. Someone who's going to love him, who's going to be there by his side when there's rough times. Ladies. Ladies, I'm not only coming after you, I'm coming after your man too today. Husbands, The Bible says, love your wives like Christ loved the church. When we look how Christ loved the church, Christ sacrificed his life on the cross for the church. Can I ask you this, men? When was the last time you made a sacrifice for your wife? When was the last time you made a sacrifice for your bride? Well, praise God, Pastor Zach. Well, praise Jesus. Don't you know I always make sacrifices for my wife? I'm the breadwinner of the family. I bring home the bacon, praise God. Don't you know I bring the paycheck home? Yes, I know you bring the bread and the bacon home, but when's the last time you cooked that bread and cooked that bacon and helped out with the meal at the house, helped out do laundry, helped out with the kids, did something to sacrifice for your bride? I believe this. We could crush the divorce rate in our society today. It's because you don't need a new spouse. What you really need is a heart of humility. And say, God, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to humble myself before my spouse. I heard a funny story of a teacher who was teaching all of her kids the Ten Commandments. And she was telling them the importance of the Ten Commandments. And she got to a point to say how you need to honor your father and mother. And she got to one final part and she was like, there's no commandments about your brothers and sisters, but can anybody connect one of the Ten Commandments on how we can honor our brothers and sisters? And there was a young boy in the class, Johnny. He was in the back of the class. He said, oh, look, miss, I got an answer. I know the answer of how we can actually honor our brothers and sisters. And then the teacher was like, okay, Johnny. Miss. And Johnny jumps on his chair. He wants to answer the question, and he's yelling and yelling. She's like, Johnny, get off of your chair. We'll let you answer the question. What is your answer? How can you honor your brothers and sisters? What commandment connects to that? And Johnny looks at all the class and he says, thou shall not kill. Now that's funny. But it's also very heart revealing. Because what was in Johnny's heart was pain. What was in Johnny's heart was strife, division, pain from his past with his siblings. And the Bible says this, out of the abundance of the heart, it says the mouth speaks. Meaning what's really inside of our heart will eventually come out inside of our actions. You know, you could be around a person and you don't have to have this big spiritual discernment on who they are and what they're about. I don't really know if I can trust this person. You know how you can find out if you really can trust a person? Listen to their language. That's good. Listen to how they're talking. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth begins to speak. And the mouth reveals truly what's in the depths of our heart. And we see that in the language of the rich young ruler. He comes to Jesus and he says these words. He says, Good teacher, what must I do that I may gain eternal life? Notice he calls Jesus a good teacher. He never refers to Jesus as Lord. He never refers to Jesus as Savior. He never refers to Jesus as the eternal God, Father. He only refers to Jesus as a good teacher. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know why he referred to him as a good teacher? It's because he already went into the conversation with a limited perspective on how he saw Jesus. He already walked into the conversation with a limited perspective on how he saw Jesus. He saw Jesus as somebody who could teach him about eternal life. He never saw Jesus as the person who can provide him with the eternal life he was looking for. And I'm telling you this, friend, if you want to surrender all you are to God, if you have a desire to grow in your relationship with God, you can't have a limited perspective about Jesus. You have to have an unlimited perspective on how you see Jesus. Jesus is a big God, and he's capable of doing exceedingly and abundantly all we can ask or even think. Jesus is more than a person you come to on Sunday and listen to a motivational message about and go back home and still be in pain, guilt, and shame. Jesus is more than a person you walk into this doors, look at the screen and quote songs that you see with words on here like it's Christian karaoke. Jesus is more than a person who we eat a wafer cracker on communion and drink some Welch's juice about to reflect on. No, Jesus is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He has the opportunity to take you from death to life, and he is a good, good father. He's more than a good teacher, amen? Amen. He's more than a good teacher. We can't have a limited perspective on Jesus. We have to have an unlimited lens when we're looking toward Jesus. I want to share one final story with you. And it's the story of a gentleman by the name of Lazarus. Lazarus was friends with Jesus, both he and his two sisters, Martha and Mary. And Lazarus ends up becoming very ill. The Bible says ill to the point of almost dying. And Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, being friends of Jesus, followed Jesus' ministry. So they saw all the healings. They saw blinded eyes open, deaf ears that were capable of hearing. People who were on stretchers, they got up. So Martha, remembering the healing ministry that she saw with Jesus, sends a message to Jesus while he's far off and away. And she says, Jesus, your friend Lazarus, he's sick. Can you come over here to our house and do that healing thing you used to do? I want to know if you can help heal our brother. We gave to your ministry, Jesus. We followed your ministry, Jesus. Can you come over here and can you bless us and help us in a time of need? But the Bible says that instead of Jesus adhering to Martha's request, he delayed his arrival. And then Lazarus ends up passing away. He ends up dying. They have the celebration of life, the funeral. He's dead now. He's been in the grave 3 days. And then Jesus looks at his boys as the disciples. He goes, hey, guys, let's go visit Martha and Mary and check on Lazarus. His disciples are like, well, didn't we receive a second word that Lazarus had died? He goes, yeah, well, come on, let's go check him out. So as he's walking toward Martha's home, traveling that way, he's a far distance off, and Martha gets word that Jesus is headed to their home, and she runs out to where Jesus is. Full sprint. She's ready to give Jesus an earful. And she comes to Jesus and she says, Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Jesus, if you would have just showed up and listened to what we ask you to do, he wouldn't be dead today, Jesus. What Martha was really saying at the moment was this: Jesus, you didn't follow the plan that I had set in place. And many of you are in this room and you're across all of our campuses and you're still mad at Jesus because Jesus followed his plan and he didn't follow your plan. Jesus, this was supposed to be happily ever after, but I'm here signing the divorce papers. Jesus, I'm 30 years old. I'm supposed to be married by now, and I still haven't found a husband yet. Jesus, you're not following the plan. Jesus, we're 5 miscarriages in, and we still don't have the baby that you promised us. We're mad at Jesus because his plan didn't align with our plan. And Martha looks back at Jesus and she said, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus looks back at Martha and he says, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will not die, but they will live forever and ever. And Martha gets even more frustrated. She's saying, Jesus, I don't need you to be spiritual right now. You're being spiritual. I don't need you to be spiritual right now. I already know the word of God. It says that the dead in Christ will rise on the last day. I already know the word. Quit being spiritual with me. My brother is dead. And Jesus looks at her with calmness and peaceness, and he says, Martha, your brother will rise again. I am the resurrection and the life. Your brother's not going to rise on the last day, Martha. Your brother's going to rise today, because I hold all power. I hold all strength inside of my hands, Martha. And Jesus goes to the tomb. And when Jesus goes to the tomb, he tells Lazarus, Lazarus, come out. And the Bible says that Lazarus takes off all of the grave clothes and he comes out. And now Lazarus is standing before Jesus, Mary, and Martha. And Jesus looks back and he looks at Martha. And I'm pretty sure he shared these words with Martha. Martha, you wanted me to show up on your time so that I can meet your expectations. But Martha, I wanted to show up on my time so that I can exceed your expectations, because I'm a God who does exceedingly. Come on, help me, please. He does abundantly more than you can ask or even think, because he's more than a good teacher. He's a good, good father who loves us and who has plans bigger than ours. Amen? Amen. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, maybe today you need to surrender your life to Jesus. You know, the Bible says in Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Romans 5:8 said, Jesus demonstrated his love for us in this way, that while we were yet sinners, Christ went to the cross and died for us. And in Romans 10:9, it says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, you will have the free gift of eternal life. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Won't you surrender your life to Jesus today? He's waiting for you, and he loves you. You can surrender your life to Jesus by saying a prayer. Repeat this prayer after me. Say, dear God, you said in the Bible that whoever would call on your name, that you would save them. Father, I call on you now. I ask you to save me. I repent of my sins, and I give you my life. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins and rose again, proving that he's God. I ask you now to come live in me. Thank you, Jesus, for being Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. With all heads bowed and all eyes still closed, if you made that decision to accept Christ in your life, can you just throw your hand up in the air? We'd love to see it. You can put hand raised on Church Online. If you're in our prison ministry, Church Unlimited, Rockport, Rodfield, Padre Island, Stone Oak, GP, just lift that hand in the air. Say, today I am making Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done in your house today. We love you, God. Thank you that we don't hold on to anything tighter than you. We surrender our lives to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Amen. Pastor.